Since the dawn of the 21st century, scientific discovery has rushed forward at lightning speed. Genetics, physics, computerized technologies, robotics, virtual reality. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert as they uncover the truths behind this ultimate scientific deception. Get ready for Sci Friday.
Release the Kraken! It's time for Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. Welcome, I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining me in studio, as always, our science advisor and my best friend, the author of the Red Wing Saga, Blood Lies, Blood Rights, and The Blood is the Life, now available, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, sweetie. Hi, sweetie pie. And coming soon, Realms of Stone.
Realms of Stone, not far off. Working on editing it right now.
Mid to late April.
Yes.
It's sort of fudge on that because I'm not really sure where I'm going to finish. I'm working really hard on it.
But today we've got a couple of things that relate to, and the movie, of course, was Clash of the Titans.
Yes. Liam Neeson.
As Zeus, yes. That was one of the main reasons to watch that film, in fact.
It's probably the only reason to watch that film.
It's
not the greatest of CGI.
No, it's not. But if you like a good giant monster, that's pretty good.
Who doesn't?
And yes, in fact, there's the sequel to Pacific Rim is coming out in April.
Yay! Squee!
Yeah, kaiju movies. I know they're horrible. They're bad.
They're really awful. But come on.
I grew up watching Godzilla in a rubber suit.
Yep.
A rubber suit Godzilla.
If there's no zipper on the suit, then it's not really a movie.
Yeah. So anyway, part of my sci-fi addiction. But there are a couple things today. First, I just very quickly want to touch on something that relates to the book that Josh and I co-authored, The Day the Earth Stands Still. And by the way, I was a guest on the podcast UFO Live program, which is a YouTube channel, just this Wednesday night. And I'll put a link. In fact, the link is at skywatchtv.com. You can find it there.
Yeah.
Also at my site.
Facebook.
And at Facebook, at my own site, derekpgilbert.com. So you can find that two-hour interview live from our spare bedroom. But Martin Willis was the host, and Martin Willis is the host, and he very graciously gave me 2 hours to talk about how we analyze the UFO phenomenon and alien abduction phenomenon through a Christian lens. And he's coming at this from an agnostic point of view. But it was a very friendly discussion, and the people in the chat room were very gracious. They asked some good questions. How can you trust the Bible as truth?
And that's a good question, and we should be ready to answer that.
Right. So I discussed that. And one of the things, the points that Josh and I made, is that the reason the UFO phenomenon has gained such traction and the belief that extraterrestrial life is real, and that more than a third of American adults and about half of adults worldwide believe that extraterrestrials are visiting Earth now, is in part because the Christian church has not done an adequate job of explaining to church Christians why the Bible can be trusted.
I want you to repeat that. Half of the world believes we're being visited now.
Yes, half the world believes we are being visited by extraterrestrials. And
now.
I argue, right now, today. And when you look at what American Christians believe, according to the Barna Group, and that only 10% of American adults have a biblical worldview. In other words, even though 3/4 of us identify as Christians, only 10% actually believe all of these propositions. Jesus lived a sinless life. He was born of a virgin, literally rose from the dead. Satan is a literal entity and not just a concept or force.
Right.
You cannot earn your way into heaven. You know, there are like 6 basic propositions, Christianity 101. And anyone who agreed with all 6 of those, according to Barna, was defined as having a biblical worldview. So 75% roughly identify as Christian. Only 10% of American adults actually have a biblical worldview. But among Americans who identify as born-again Christians, it's only like 17% have a biblical worldview. So we say we believe, but we don't really believe. Hmm. And yet, when you ask people, are we being visited by extraterrestrial intelligences? 36% of Americans say, yeah. And half of the world's adults, when you include Europe, Asia, and so forth.
Wow.
And in part, that's because Christians don't know what their Bible says. Look, we as Christians, and this is a reason that Josh and I wrote the book, believe that Earth has been visited.
The
Day the Earth Stands Still. We wrote that book because we believe the Earth has been visited by inhuman entities for thousands of years. but they're not extraterrestrial.
No.
They're extra dimensional.
Exactly, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, exactly. So that's the reason for the opening today, because it relates to the old gods, which is in the subtitle of the book. So, yeah.
But there was just a video that was released along the same line.
And I think this is part of a marketing program, to be honest with you, because it's the same group that just this past week released a second video showing F-18 radar footage, or yes, it's infrared, an infrared camera, rather, mm-hmm. forward-looking infrared radar, FLIR, caught a very fast-moving object. This was an F-18 over the Atlantic Ocean. The first one that was released back in December, almost at the same time as our book, was over the Pacific. That one called the USS Nimitz UFO incident. If you mm-hmm. want to look that up, you can find information about it on the web. But interestingly, Martin Willis in the program told me about the Atlantic Ocean encounter, that he had been told by an F-18 pilot that this was not previously classified video, and neither was the previous video mm-hmm. release. We were led to believe that, right. But they had both been publicly available on YouTube 10 years ago. In fact, this F-18 pilot told Willis...
Didn't it say it was from 2015, though?
We said it was from 2015, but Willis told me that he had been told by another F-18 pilot that it had been used as a training exercise, in a training video of pilots showing how you use your infrared radar to track a fast-moving object. They didn't even discuss it as a UFO. To them, it's like, okay, this pilot did a really good job of framing and capturing it and mm-hmm. tracking this thing, which might be really helpful in a combat situation if you've got an enemy.
Did they ever know what it was?
They didn't know what it was. But the thing that's important is that this video, like the previous one, released by the same group called To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences. We've talked about them before. This time they're putting out Christopher Mellon, who is a former Undersecretary of Intelligence in the Defense Department. Again, another member of the intelligence community putting this out there and saying, well, really, really don't know what this is, but the government should be investigating this. Now, as far as that goes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
If Russia or China has an object that can move half again faster than our fastest airplane, the SR-71 Blackbird, we need to know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't follow that just because we don't know what it is, that it's extraterrestrial.
Well,
that's the key point. Again, this is, and I think this group, To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, you go to their website, their first thing you find up there is invest.
Yeah.
And here's how much they've raised, $2.5 million already. So that's what they're doing. This is marketing. 90 days after the first one, just when the buzz from the release mm-hmm. in December died down, they release another video. I predict 3 months, mark my words, April, May, June, sometime around June, we're going to see another one from this group.
I think that would make sense because that's coming up on the anniversary of every year.
Of Roswell.
Exactly.
Right, so watch for it.
Along this line.
Yes.
Well, you and I are going to discuss, and I even teased this at the Facebook group for the Red Wing Saga, by the way, and if you don't belong, then why don't you? The fact that you and I were on Sci Friday, we're mm-hmm. going to discuss, frankly, our research that gets into a book that's going to be coming out later this year
mm-hmm.
that is not about aliens, but about
the
creatures that are the old gods that are often called the aliens of today.
Right.
The small g gods. And the whole Red Wing Saga, it's about spiritual warfare. It just happens to use the 19th century to teach it.
Right.
But it's about families and coming together and really leaning upon the Lord. But there are non-Christian characters in it as well. But the bottom line is that there are also spiritual entity characters.
Right, right. And a key element in any war is deception.
So this morning I was doing some research trying to learn more about Celtic gods. And that took me to the study of Hernunos, mm-hmm. spelled the sea, pronounced H. Hernunos, who is the horned god. He's a dying and rising god. And he's often depicted sitting in a sort of, you know, Eastern position,
mm-hmm.
you know, with his legs crossed. He looks like Baphomet.
Like Baphomet, right, yes.
And I wanted to learn more about him. I came across a pillar called the Pillar of the
Boatmen.
The Boatmen, thank you very much, that was discovered underneath Notre Dame.
It's in the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Exactly.
In Paris.
That Notre Dame is built over an old Roman temple.
Okay, all right.
And first there was a sort of a smaller church, and then Notre Dame was built over that. But it was all on top of this temple to Jupiter.
Okay.
And
how old is this temple?
Oh, I have no idea.
I'll look that
probably
up.
Probably 3rd century B.C. or so. But the wall that was around this temple had these stones in it mm-hmm. that comprised the pillar. And the pillar contains effigies, sort of bas-reliefs, of a lot of different gods. And it's dedicated to probably a dozen or more gods that this temple was used to worship them.
The pillar was dedicated to Tiberius Caesar Augustus, who became emperor in the year 14 AD.
Well, that 14, dates it.
Yeah, so this is concurrent with Jesus and the apostles.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, that makes it even more interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Hernunos is one of the biggies on this pillar, and he's sitting there, you know, like he's the king of it all.
Right, right.
Which gets into your research.
Well,
I pulled you in this morning, and I said, guess what I found? And he's got horns like a bull.
Right. Hernunos is, the etymology there is really intriguing, but what attracted my attention to that was the similarity to, and the imagery of the horns, and this being the horned god, because of the research I've been doing for the forthcoming
and
book, Last Clash.
And that's why I said, look, honey, he's got horns.
Yeah, Last
and
Clash of the Titans.
And etymologically speaking, the Celts may well go back to Galatia.
Yeah.
In Anatolia.
Yeah, Anatolia is modern-day Turkey. And in fact, I'll put a map here so you can see it, because that's, again, key to what I am researching for my book, which not only deals with the old gods of the Amorites, the neighbors around ancient Israel, but it looks at the prophecy of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39, because the coalition from the north, Gomer and Meshech and Tubal
mm-hmm.
and Beth Togarma, the house of Togarma,
mm-hmm.
coming from the uttermost parts of the north. Well, the uttermost parts of the north is a designation, I believe, that points to the holy mountain of, or the mountain that was sacred to the storm god Baal, Mount Zaphon, because the phrase that Ezekiel used three times in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is only used two other places in the Bible. Once in Psalm 48, which compares Mount Zion to Mount Zaphon, talking about how beautiful is Zion in elevation in the uttermost parts of the north. But also in Isaiah 14,
mm-hmm.
which talks about
how
the rebel.
Fallen.
How art thou fallen, Lucifer, son of the dawn, who wanted to establish his throne above the stars of God in the heights of the north, the sides of the north, the uttermost parts of the north. The same phrase. So I think we're looking at cosmic or supernatural north, but all of the nations that are named are coming from Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, one of the gods who is key to all of this is the leader of the Titans. And in the book, I'm going to show how the Titans and the Watchers of the Bible are the same, because they were both, and this is documented in the Bible, the angels who sinned, who kept not their first estate,
mm-hmm.
kept in chains in gloomy darkness in Tartarus, like the Titans.
And I know the god you're going to, the small g god you're going to name in a minute,
yes.
whose name is very similar to Hernunos.
Hernunos, and that is the leader of the Titans, Cronos.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the interesting thing, and this is from a scholar by the name of why am I forgetting his name now all of a sudden?
Not Wyatt.
Yes, it is. Nicholas Wyatt. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Who is an expert in Ugaritic literature. Ugarit was the Amorite kingdom just south of Mount Zaphon around the time of the Judges. He writes about the Council of the Datanu, or in the Tribe of the Datanu, which is an ancient Amorite tribe that all the Amorite kings traced ancestry from. And another scholar named Amar Anus said that's the origin of the word Titan in the Greek, was the name of this ancient Amorite tribe. So in other words, the Amorite kings believed they were descended from the Titans.
Well, this makes...
This gets to the whole aspect, the horned aspect of Hernunos, the bovid, bull-like sense of the form Datanu is particularly intriguing in view of other toromorph or bull-like elements mm-hmm. in the tradition. And by the way, he points out that Datanu is based on the Akkadian word for bison or aurochs, which is the mm-hmm. now extinct mm-hmm. form of giant cattle that roamed ancient Asia. Thus, the prominent Titan Cronos was later identified with El, the chief Canaanite god, who is given the epithet TR in the Semitic, which means bull. He's called mm-hmm. the Bull El in Ugaritic and biblical literature. Skipping down, though. Furthermore, the name Cronos may well carry the same nuance, since it may be construed as referring to bovine horns based on the Akkadian Ugaritic word karnu, Q-A-R-N-U, And the Hebrew word keren, Q-E-R-E-N, which featured prominently in divine iconography in the ancient Near East. The ancient Near East, all the gods wore these helmets that had multiple sets of horns. Kronos may mean the horned one.
Oh my goodness. We're going to have to discuss this after the break, though,
yes,
because there's more to go on this and all about archaeology and the gods that are coming back.
Exactly right. It's science in the sense that archaeology is helping us discover all of this. We just wish the archaeologists were looking at this through a biblical lens,
mm-hmm,
but that's why we do what we do. And mm-hmm, Sci-Friday continues after this.
The Ripper has claimed another victim, and a new shadow arises in the East. A monster with a ravenous appetite for human blood. This ancient vampire challenges the leadership of Red Wing. A fracture that erupts into civil war. At Queen Anne House, the wedding day of Charles and Elizabeth approaches. But treason within the inner circle threatens to destroy all their lives. The clock is ticking towards a final showdown between good and evil. Who will remain standing? The Blood is the Life by Sharon K. Gilbert. Book 3 of the Red Wing Saga, part of this exclusive offer. Get all 3 books of the Red Wing Saga, plus Dr. Michael Heiser's groundbreaking novels, The Facade and The Portent. A $90 value, yours for a donation of just $40. Call 844-750-4985 or log on to SkywatchTVStore.com.
Follow the cultural and historic backdrop behind Paul's words in the New Testament that correct the record on some of the most misinterpreted scriptures in modern history in relation to the issue of women, their leadership role in the church, and understand properly what Paul was responding to when the epistles were written. Skywatch TV is proud to announce one of the most anticipated, talked about new releases of the year, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy promotional offer. When you order The Handmaiden's Conspiracy from Skywatch TV, you'll receive Skywatch TV's brand new, beautifully bound, limited edition, red letter, King James version of the Holy Bible with Apocrypha. In addition to the Old and New Testaments, this never-before-released, one-of-a-kind deluxe collector's Bible includes the ancient apocryphal books like Enoch, Jubilees, and 15 more ancient texts that the disciples of Christ read and quoted from. This gorgeous, limited edition Bible is available exclusively from Skywatch TV and holds a retail value of $80. Yours absolutely free for a limited time. That's right, absolutely free when you purchase the Handmaiden's Conspiracy promotional offer. Also included in this once-in-a-lifetime offer is the Donna Howell collection that includes all 3 of her runaway best-selling works, Radicals, Redeemed Unredeemable, and Final Fire. Sold separately, this unprecedented promotional offer retails for $160. Yours now for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. This is one of the most exciting promotional offers we've made available, and you don't want to miss this opportunity to receive all 4 of best-selling author Donna Howell's works, along with the remarkable Deluxe Collector's King James Version of the Bible that includes the ancient apocryphal books of Enoch, Jubilees, and 15 more ancient texts. In fact, order numerous sets to give away to every Bible enthusiast and student you know. The Handmaiden's Conspiracy promotional offer. Order now at the Skywatch TV store or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Sci-Friday from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert along with Sharon K. Gilbert. We get into stuff like this in our monthly magazine every month, Skywatch TV Magazine. You can find the information on getting a subscription at the Skywatch TV store online at skywatchtvstore.com. In fact, the article that I put in this month's magazine is about
reversing Molech.
Reversing Molech, the god of death and child sacrifice in the ancient Near East. But we've got stuff like that every month from authors like Sharon K. Gilbert, Tom Horn, Allie Anderson, Wes Fall contributing now and doing a wonderful job with the layout of the magazine now.
Yeah.
Anyway, SkywatchTVStore.com to get yours.
And you want to get the Red Wing Saga because I discuss spiritual warfare.
I
get into all of this, and that's why I was researching this morning, because the god Hernunos, who's going to play a big part in a future book, a very big part. I've been slowly explaining through various characters what's really going on supernaturally. You know, this god Hernunos, he's very interesting because there's a relief that shows him, again, in that seated position like Baphomet. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of elements. One is that he inevitably is shown with a horned snake.
Horned snake.
Sort of like, well, a dragon.
Yeah.
Sort of like Tiamat.
Tiamat.
That he apparently, in some poetry, has conquered.
Mm-hmm.
And yet partnered with. Yeah, it's a very strange thing. In fact, this snake, in one part, one of the poems, a Pict poem, he conquers the snake and then wraps it around his waist as a belt.
Hmm.
And then he and the snake work together to kill off the villagers that hired him to kill the snake.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it's not a very good hero story, but he's shown in one image as standing between Apollo and Mercury.
Huh.
As if he's the powerful one. He's seated, and they're standing on his sides. And because he's seated and his head's about the same height, he's clearly bigger.
That's really interesting because that's a blending of Celtic and Greco-Roman cosmology.
Yes, it is.
But it all goes back to the same thing. Here's the interesting thing I found out in the study of Baal-Hamon, which is the other god identified with Kronos, Saturn, and El. You know, all the same entity. Baal-Hamon was the Phoenician aspect of the same god. Saturn for the Romans, Kronos for the Greeks, El for the Canaanites. Found that even though Saturn, or rather Jupiter among the Romans in the Mediterranean, was the king of their gods,
mm-hmm.
the storm god equivalent to
right.
Zeus and Baal, among the people, especially in North Africa where the Phoenicians colonized, Baal-Hamon, Saturn, was the chief god.
Didn't you tell me that Hamon and Hermon are etymologically
different? No, actually, I asked Mike Heiser about that. Hamon and Mount Hermon are etymologically different, but scholars do believe that Hamon, Baal-Hamon, means Lord of Hamon, Lord of the Amanus Mountains, which are just to the north of Mount Hermon in what is modern-day Turkey. Not Mount Hermon,
now,
just to the north of Mount Zafon in modern-day Turkey.
Is that the area with the Luwians?
Yes, a people group called the Luwians who spoke a language very similar to ancient Hittite.
L-U-W-I-A-N.
Right. This is in the area what would have been northwest Syria and southeastern Turkey, right around that bend of the Mediterranean there, the northeastern corner of the Mediterranean. Some mountains there that were considered sacred mountains. But Baal-Hamon means Lord of the Amanus, A-M-A-N-U-S, the Amanus Mountains, very close to Mount Zafon, which was Baal's holy mountain.
That's really
interesting. Apparently Baal, considered the son of El, didn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at an entry on the Luwian age, and there's a relief from Melid, which was one of the main centers, of the weather god, storm god,
mm-hmm.
and its companion battling a serpentine monster.
Yes, yes, and it was
Tiamat.
That... Right, it's
Leviathan.
It's what they call the Chaos Conf.
Mm-hmm.
There is a common myth among the legends of the ancient, religions of the ancient world, from Sumer to the Hittites, the Hurrians, the Luwians,
mm-hmm.
The Greeks, the Romans, the Germans. Thor had to defeat, we talked about this before, Jörmungandr, I won't pronounce it right. I'll put it in the lower third here. But it's the same thing. The storm god, a warrior god, had to defeat a monster representing chaos. Among the Hurrians and the Hittites, it was Iliuncus. The Indian civilization, the Indus River Valley civilization, had a similar mm-hmm. myth. Tiamat, Leviathan in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
which is the actual story. But of course, God defeated Leviathan by the second verse of Genesis chapter 1.
He doesn't even need a hammer to do it.
He doesn't need a hammer to do it. Doesn't need help from other gods, as in these other myths. But it's a consistent story, and it's not a coincidence that they all had the same or very similar myths. By the way, the mountains today, the Amanus Mountains, now called the Nur, N-U-R Mountains, which in Turkish means Mountains of Holy Light.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yes,
that's very interesting. Well, it's not coincidental, I don't believe, that in the book of Revelation that the churches that the letters are addressed to in the opening chapters are all in Turkey.
Yeah.
Anatolia, that area is so important. And the tribes that are listed in, most of them that are listed in Ezekiel 38, from Anatolia.
Yes, exactly, including groups that later became the Galatians, but Galatia, Cappadocia, Phrygia, the Luwian people. Most of us have never heard of the Luwians, but there was a new translation of a stela that was just released this past summer that dealt with, I believe it was in Luwian, but it was it dealt with the fall of Troy and the migration of people after Troy from the Aegean to the Eastern Mediterranean. The Troy, even though most of us have just read the Greek myth of the fall of Troy, the Trojan War, the Trojan Horse, of course. Most scholars now believe that was an actual historical event that occurred at about the same time or just before the fall of what they call the end of the Bronze Age, because there was a Bronze Age collapse where most of the kingdoms in the Mediterranean, the Hittites, the Ugaritic civilization, it was about the time of the Judges where the Israelites were establishing their kingdom.
Right.
Egypt almost fell, but the Ramses III, the son of Ramses the Great, was able to hold off the Sea Peoples. The Luwians were part of this. In fact, it's believed that the Luwians controlled all of southern and western Turkey in that time and might have been the Kingdom of Troy, might have included the Kingdom of Troy.
Oh, that's really interesting. So do you think that these peoples actually were Amorites?
No, they're Indo-European, not Semitic speaking, so there's probably a difference. But they provide the connecting tissue. They were the mode of transmission for all of the stories that go back to Sumer, Babylon, from the Amorites to the west, to the Greeks and Romans. In other words, the myths of the Greeks and Romans, Zeus was Tarhunt to the Luwians, was Hadad to the Amorites, was Ishkur to the Sumerians, the storm god. The same entity, different names.
That's really interesting.
But the older god, Enlil, El, or Dagon, perhaps, Anu, it was Kumarbi.
Yes.
In the Hurrian and Luwian myths, and then Kronos, El, Baal, Hamon. And might be Hernunos, right, exactly. And this consistent thread of the bull or bovid imagery.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting stuff. And archaeology has helped us find all of this. And again, it's deception. It's deception. Because today in the modern age, we're so scientific, we find it easier to believe that they were just astronauts from another world.
Oh.
Which ties back to the book Josh and I just wrote.
Well, I can't wait for your new book to come out. And Day the Earth Stands Still, you can still order that.
Yes.
Through Skyrish TV Store.
Yes, or officialdisclosure.com.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Well,
this
is going by way too fast. We need to do like 3-in-1. We need to find some multiverse technique to pack about 3 times
really
more time
do.
Than these.
Well, we lost an hour this spring, so we're going to do
Yeah. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. With Sharon Gilbert, I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Sci Friday from Skywatch TV.